anything.
This we are in the beginning, man. So we'll be covering it.
I know.
We're not going to be in going into such detail because I don't need to convince you of anything.
Yep.
Amen. I just want to read through it. I want us to remember and it remind us how big a God that we actually serve.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray and then we'll bust it out. Father, we come to you again, Lord, and just what an honor it is just to be able to come and bow before you. Just let you know we love you this morning. Let you know we're thankful for all that you do for us and all that you will do for us. And Lord, truly all that you have done for us. We just ask for a blessing on this teaching today, Lord, and a blessing on this service as well as the next service, Lord. We just want your spirit to be here, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we know that you didn't bring any of us here for nothing today. You brought us here to show us something about who you are. And Lord, I just pray that we see that. We see your goodness. We see your mercy. We see your grace. We see your forgiveness. And Lord, most of all, that we see you as the creator of everything that we see. Just know we love you, Lord. We do. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So let me start with... this is going to be the book of beginnings, is it not?
Yep.
It's pretty interesting, this book is, especially if you believe, you know, some people believe in evolution. Right?
Yeah.
So what is the best way to interpret Genesis? The best way to interpret Genesis is not to try to interpret it at all.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Take it for what it is.
Yeah, that's the best way to interpret Genesis. Mm-hmm. Is don't try to interpret it, but just take it and look at it for what it was meant to say exactly. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
It's important. It's important. And you know, Genesis is important to the New Testament as well. You know, there's over 165 references in the New Testament to Genesis.
Amen.
And some of those things are mentioned twice. So that would make even more references in the New Testament to Genesis. Man. All right, without further ado, let's see how everything started.
Amen. In the beginning.
Huh? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that is correct.
Is that correct?
It's a plural word.
It is a plural word.
James went off the rails and decided to make it correct. So I stand corrected.
We always knew you'd come along and get alongside of
us. How patient can you be?
I'm pretty patient, man. And you know what? For me, that's a disputable difference. I'm not even going to argue with you about it. You say heaven, I say heaven, whatever.
Yep.
That's not even worth arguing about.
Yep.
Amen? In the beginning, God created the heavens. So right from the beginning, God declares that the world didn't come about by chance. Am I right? It was created by God, who by definition is eternal and always has been.
Amen.
Am I right? Yeah. So if you believe Genesis 1:1, say amen.
Amen.
Because if you believe Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, then listen, you will have no problem whatsoever believing anything else that is written in this book.
Yeah.
Because if you can believe in a God that is so big that he created everything, then anything else that God says in this book will be easy for you to believe.
Yeah. That's why there's such an assault on our education system with the young people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you can get them not to believe that this verse right here, right, then you can get them to believe pretty much anything you tell them. But in the beginning, God created, right, the heavens and the earth. Now, the word God there is very interesting because in the original language, the word is Elohim. Elohim. You know what Elohim means in this particular context? It is a plural word.
Yep.
All right. Woo! It was inscribed to me one time. El meaning singular,
yep.
Lo meaning two, and then Elohim meaning plural. So right from the beginning, we see Moses pointing to something. And what is he pointing to?
The Trinity.
The Trinity. Now listen to me. The Bible never uses the word Trinity. But I want you to know, even when we get into the chapter, later chapter, in the next chapter, when God says, when he creates man, he says, let us
in our
image and in our likeness. So again there's an absolute reference to the Trinity. Amen? There's no doubt about it. In the beginning, God, Elohim, we, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, who can tell me what John chapter 1, verse 1 says?
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who is the Word?
Jesus.
Because it goes on to say that there was nothing made that wasn't made
through Him.
Through Him and by Him and for Him. Amen? Man, God is good, isn't He? So, if we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and all of you just agreed that we do, then we can no longer entertain the idea that anything happens by chance.
All right.
Listen, anything happens by chance, or happens by accident, or happens by coincidence.
Amen. Correct.
You follow me, right?
Yeah.
Man. All right, so what is chance? Because chance has no power. Does it? Chance has no strength. Chance has no authority. Do you know what chance does? It only describes a possibility.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep. But you know, there are those who believe that the world just came about by chance. By chance. Man.
Yeah, I've never seen an explosion create something.
You haven't?
Or an explosion all by itself.
Yeah.
You know, let me take a second here and tell you about a conversation I had with an atheist one time. And I said conversation because I don't need to debate the Bible. The Bible stands on its own. I don't need to argue the Bible. The Bible stands on its own. All I got to do is put the truth out there and let the truth do what the truth does.
Amen.
Amen? All right, so we were talking one time. I was talking. He said he was an atheist. And I said, well, you know, I started explaining to him. I believe that in creation, I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, being an atheist means what? You do not believe in God or a God or any God or any entity, right?
Yeah, right?
So would it be fair for me to say, and by the way, I tell you this story because I want to give you ammunition.
Amen.
To when this comes up, and you, maybe it will, and maybe now you'll have the confidence and encouragement to say, hey, let me tell you about this.
Yeah.
So if you're an atheist, do you know what? Then what would your belief be in creation by default?
One miracle.
Evolution.
I mean, either you got two options.
Yeah.
Evolution.
Big Bang Theory.
Or evolution is the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Evolution or aliens.
Yeah.
But you know, I told him, I said, you know what? Even with those two options, you still got to explain to me the aliens.
Yeah,
that's right.
Where did they come from?
So if you're an atheist, then you believe, now listen, you believe that in the beginning there was nothing.
And from nothing.
And from nothing came all that you see.
That's the definition of nothing. There's nothing there.
That's right. That's right. And listen, and you believe that when there was nothing, there was a Big Bang or whatever, however you want to. Listen, for that even to happen, there has to be molecules. There has to be atoms. There has to be something to create the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Because out of nothing comes
nothing.
Nada.
Zero times zero.
Nada. And if you want to believe in this evolutionary theory where man came out of this primordial soup and over billions and billions of years we've evolved into what we are today, then here's what I asked him. I said, how come there hasn't been one single transitory fossil ever found where man is evolving from anything?
Yep.
Think about it. Not one.
Because it didn't happen.
Do you know what? I explained to him, I said, look, it takes a little bit of faith to believe what I believe.
Yep.
But it takes a whole lot more faith for you to believe that out of nothing came something. And then I told him, I said, I want you to do this for me. Turn to your right. All right, y'all do this with me too. Turn your head to the right. Now just pan around like this. And here's what I want you to understand. That high-speed computer in your head, it is processing a million bits of information per second. for not even a second, less than that. I want you to see that because your eye is moving. It's saying light, blue, white, TV. I mean, you know what I mean? Do you understand that? And all that came from nothing.
While simultaneously making your heart and breathing.
Yes.
And your neurotransmitters.
Yes. 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 We hope. Yeah. Listen, it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in a God who created everything.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The theory of evolution says that if you put a laptop on a table and you wait millions of years, eventually through chance, there will be another laptop that's created next to that old laptop. But here's the problem is if you try to use that new laptop, even given the fact that, okay, magically this happened, we evolved a computer here, it still wouldn't work because you're missing the software. And that's, you don't have the programming, and that's the part of the Holy Spirit, everything like that. If you try to create us, you're missing the part of the software, the part that God put into us to create us.
Listen, evolution is the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on mankind. Ever. And at the end of Genesis 1, I'll try to explain to you and show you, based on what I looked up, how that actually got started. How that actually got started. Man. All right. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This tells us that God used no pre-existing materials when he created the heavens and the earth, because the word created there in the original language is bara, and bara, B-A-R-A, means to create from nothing. It means to create from nothing, right? So when I say create from nothing, do you guys know what God did use to create?
His word.
Yeah.
How powerful is that, man?
Yep.
That's pretty good. Cool. Yeah.
He didn't need my help.
He didn't need your help? He didn't call you?
So what are you trying to say, that God existed before anything else?
Listen, and you know that atheist asked me that. You know, he said, well, then where did God come from? I said, listen to me. Listen very closely, because I can prove this to you without a doubt. The fact that you exist, and I pointed right at him, the fact that you exist proves something has always existed.
Amen.
Because never can you go back to a time when there was nothing and something came out of nothing. Yep. The fact that you exist, that you and I sit here today, proves something has always existed, period. Because we didn't come from nothing.
Yeah.
Because nothing cannot, nothing produces
nothing.
Nothing. Amen. God had a plan. We're going to see that here in the book of Genesis.
Genesis.
Good point. I forgot to bring that part up.
Genesis actually means origin.
Yes, beginning, origin.
The beginning.
Yes.
But what about, I mean, it's Mother Earth, you know. So didn't we just come from the earth?
The Bible never says Mother Earth, you know. Yeah.
The earth was God.
And I understand that word of God come from. I'm just telling you, man, unless something has always existed, he's always existed. By definition, God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He had no beginning. And he had no end, and the Bible testifies and verifies that exact thing to us.
And when you think about it, that's the only thing that can do what he does.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It has to be that.
Listen, man can create, can he?
Yes.
But man cannot create anything except out of something that God has already created.
Yes.
If you don't believe me, try it.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm going to go make a vitamin. I'm going to take this dirt. No. You got to make your own dirt.
Yeah.
Come on. You got to make your own. You can't use God's plants.
Yeah.
You can't use God's stuff. You and I cannot create something out of nothing. We can only use pre-existing material to create things. But here's what's amazing. Some of the things that God has given us the knowledge to create.
Amen.
Out of dirt and plants and things and rocks and stuff.
Chemicals.
Yeah, how amazing. Some good.
Some not.
Some bad.
Anything man creates, he will corrupt. Yeah.
You know what's wild is, like, scientists have laws that they've observed through the universe, the law of thermodynamics. You can't create anything. All you can do is take material and move it. So therefore, we can't create anything. And then the other part of that, with evolution, it also says that the chaos theory, essentially, everything is in a state of degrading chaos. You don't get better, you get worse. In other words, like, we don't evolve, we develop more diseases and everything like that. That's why, like, the only thing that doesn't believe in, you know, this chaos theory is biology. They're like, oh, that doesn't count with us. We get better.
That doesn't happen until chapter 3.
Yeah.
No, right now.
Stay on track. Stay on board. All right. I thought it would be kind of interesting right here to give to ask you and ask you to give me some things that were. See, right here we're in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created. So right here, nothing has been yet created. Am I right?
Right.
So I want to ask you some of the things the Bible says that were given or decided before anything was created.
Us.
Oh, everything.
Before the foundation of the world.
If we do what God wants us to do.
What was decided? What was given? Give me some things the Bible says that were given or decided before God even said in the beginning, let there be life.
It's the book of life.
Our name's in the book.
Who belongs?
Book of life.
What else?
On your head.
He knew me.
Let me give you just a few. All right? And I'm gonna give these to you from the Bible. Let me give you the first one, and you tell me what it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I want you to understand something. Before God even said, let there be light, there was grace. Because that grace was instituted. Well, do we need grace? Isn't that cool? That grace was there. That grace was given before. So what does that speak of? What does that scream to you?
Love.
Plan.
Yeah, he knew the end.
Why did we need? He's telling us right here, before time even began, he knew he was going to send his son, Jesus Christ. He knew we were going to need grace. And all of that was instituted before anything. I tell you what, my God's pretty awesome. Isn't it?
I do.
Let me read you another one from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 6. Listen. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Think about that, will you? To be holy and blameless in his sight.
Thank you.
In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We know that grace he's talking about right there was in place before the world began. But he says here he chose us before the creation of the world. What? Is that Calvinism? No, it's not Calvinism. If your God does not know everything, then he's not God.
Amen.
Amen. So let me try to put it this way. A lot of people will take this. Anybody know what Calvinism is?
Yes.
Anytime somebody has to call a doctrine by a name of a person who lived on this earth, forget it.
Amen.
It's just a doctrine that's not godly. Amen?
It's an opinion.
Yes. But, and here's what I want you to know. Did God know that you would be saved?
Yes.
He did know you would be saved. He did know I would be saved. He says right here that he chose us in him before the world began. But listen to me.
I still had to choose him.
Just because he knows the answer doesn't take away your free will to choose. You still got to make a choice. And if your God isn't big enough to know what you're going to decide, Well, I suggest you get on with my God.
Get a bigger God, yeah.
Amen? Amen? Because my God is omnipotent. What does omnipotent mean?
All-powerful.
Omniscient.
All-knowing.
And omnipresent.
Everywhere.
That's who God is. Make no mistake about it. That's who my God is anyway. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know if somebody has a God and he's not those three things at the very least. I don't know how he can be called a God. Yep. He'd have to be a little G. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at another one, and Hal touched on this, and I'll give you a little context in this, even though I'm not really going to speak about it. We'll speak about it when we get there from Revelation chapter 17. He's talking about Babylon, which is representative of the world system, and the prostitute and the beast. But he says in 17:8b, he says, "And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made."
Yeah.
All right? Is that right?
Yep.
So the book of life was actually created
before.
It makes complete sense.
Yeah.
If you serve an omniscient God who knows everything, why couldn't he write a book of life before the world began?
Come on. He can.
And listen, the Bible says in Titus 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So you will have an opportunity to understand and come to God. You will. And the Bible says even creation speaks of God.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Look around.
Look around. Look at everything. Look at we have a designer.
Yes.
And the only reason you can't see it is because you don't want to see it.
Without excuse.
Huh? You are without excuse.
Yes.
You got those blinders on. One more thing that I thought would be interesting for me to share with you, that before the beginning, sometime before this actual point, God created the angels. So the angels were created prior to God creating the world. You say, Pastor, can you prove that? Well, this still happens. Job chapter 38, verse 4 through 7. He says, "Where were you?" He's talking to Job. Job's kind of in a little pig party right here at this point. Now listen, don't ever think Job was a wuss, because he wasn't.
No.
Job was the righteous man. Job was the guy that Satan had to come to before God.
And ask permission.
He didn't even ask permission. God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?"
Yeah.
I just want you to know what an honor.
Amen. Gosh, yeah.
What an honor it would be for God to know that he could cut Satan loose in your life and you would never blame him.
Amen.
Amen? Because we know Job lost everything in a matter of minutes. And he's sitting in sackcloth and ashes, scraping boils with a broken piece of pottery.
And then his friends are no help either.
Curse God and die.
That was his wife.
But he never did curse God, did he?
No.
Now, he had a pity party, make no mistake about it, but don't think you wouldn't have.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I had a pity party.
You would have had a pity party, but he never did curse God. He did say some things like, I wish I'd never been born and all that stuff, but man, I mean, he went from top to bottom in just a matter of minutes, literally.
We've all had pity parties for a lot less than that.
Yes, for a whole lot less than that. All right, where were you? And he's talking to Job in his pity party here. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy.
Amen.
So as God is creating this, I want you to understand that the angels. The angels were shouting for joy because that must mean that they were already created. Amen?
Yeah.
Just a few things I want to share with you that were chosen or decided before we got started into creation itself. Amen? All right, let's go on. And this is the state of the earth before God organized it. All right? Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the faces of the waters.
Amen.
If you got a good mind's eye, man, it's a, if you, I don't know, man, it's a, I can picture it. just the Holy Spirit hovering over something without shape and without void. But I want you to think about something. It says here, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So when God began to transform the earth into something beautiful and compatible with his plan and as well as mankind, I want you to notice something here. He starts with the Spirit of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, think about this, begins every work, not only in creation, but also in recreation. Think
He's
about
the power.
It.
Yeah.
Huh?
He's the power.
How do you think you got saved? Huh?
The Holy Spirit.
How, you know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Do you know who instituted that? I'll tell you who instituted that. The Holy Spirit of God instituted that. Amen? He is always there. He's there in the beginning. In creation. And listen, he was there when you and I were made new or recreated.
Thank you.
Amen? Man. You know, when I read this, when God created the heavens and the earth, it seems to me like he built an old earth. It does. Creating things in the midst of a time sequence with a parent or a manufactured age. Just follow me here for a minute. Let me ask you this. When God created the plant life, was it full grown?
No.
Yes.
Some of it.
Yes. He said, let there be, and let it produce seed after its own seed. When God created the fish and the sea, were they full grown?
Yes.
When he produced the mammals, were they full grown?
Yes.
Everything that God created was in a full grown, older,
that's what you said.
Follow me.
I didn't get the word. Like,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Because, you know, a scientist will pick up a rock and he'll say, this rock is 2 billion years old. Well, I want to slap him. I really
do. Me too.
Ask him if he was there.
How do you know?
Because it was dated. Carbon dated.
Listen, I can go pick up a rock and I mean, just say, hey, pick up a rock and say, how old is this rock? I want you to know something this morning. Every rock is the same age.
Right.
Every single rock is the same age.
Amen. Yep.
Because they were all created at the same time.
Yep. But if you get to make up a variable in that equation, yes, you can change anything.
Yes, you can. Then you can change. But, you know, that's what they want. You know, listen, they're always trying to justify and find ways to verify.
It does not include God.
Evolution. Anyway, anything, as long as they don't have to admit that there is a God that they are going to be responsible to and accountable to. But there is, my friend.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. There is. Whether you believe it or not. There is. For we must all give an account. That's what the Bible says, right?
Seems like you just gave the answer to the age-old dilemma of which came first, the chicken or the egg.
It's a no-brainer.
The chicken.
It's a no-brainer. We're going to see that, too.
It was an adult chicken.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But you understand what I'm talking about here in this time sequence? Because what I mean by when God created the heavens and the earth, when he created the earth, what I mean by an age, manufactured age is because when God created it, there would have been already sandy beaches. Am I right? But we know how sandy beaches come from over years and years and years and years and years. Right? There would have already been canyons, am I right?
Yeah.
Mountains, mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. Which would take place over time. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes,
God can do whatever he wants to. But the fact that he created everything else with age, even though it was brand new, how do you tell a brand new rock? Huh?
It's shiny.
Hey, look at my brand new rock. Can you see Adam telling Eve, look, it's not very old at all.
This was just made last week.
Made.
So is that kind of
still in its warranty.
I mean, even when he created Adam, Was she full grown? Yes. Eve?
Yeah.
Yes. Everything that he created was created full grown or old.
It's like the Grand Canyon.
We know how the Grand Canyon came about.
All right.
Let me ask you this. You know, when God created the Garden of Eden, it says he put trees and everything in it. You think them trees in the Garden of Eden had rings in them?
Yes.
Because every tree has a ring in it. Amen. He decided how old to make that tree when he created it. He decided how old to make the fruit, the plants the fruit would come from. You think Adam and Eve could just hung out there until the seed blew and blossomed? And
he'd be hungry.
No, he created it so that they could have it then. No doubt about it. It's common sense. Am I right? All right.
You never answered my question.
Oh, dang. What was it, Kevin?
Did Adam have a belly button?
No.
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 Well,
of course not. Neither did he.
Neither did he.
Listen to me. Never, ever get so focused on a small, irrelevant detail that you miss the big picture. Ever. Who cares? Right?
Were butterflies created or just caterpillars?
Listen, one day you can ask Adam, because you'll see him. Right? Yeah, you'll see him. Say, hey, pull your shirt, Adam. Don't tell Eve that.
Well, she didn't have one either.
Huh?
She didn't have one either.
You don't know that.
Yeah, they did.
Well, you don't know that. There's no way you can go to the Bible and say that Adam and Eve, neither one of them had a belly button. There's just no way. There's absolutely no way. So why even argue about it when you can't prove it one way or another? Am I right?
Well, you'll forget about it by the time you get there.
I've got these ambush questions.
Listen, if that's the biggest question you want answered, you got an issue. Amen.
In the wrong book.
You're in the wrong book, yeah.
Hang in there, Kelby.
All right.
Keep going the line.
You ready to move on, man? All right, verse 3-5. This is the first day of creation. Light is created and divided from the darkness right here. And yes, I understand that there's some difficulties here. I do. But not when you understand who God is.
It's about us understanding who God is.
Yes. Man.
He tells us we won't.
Listen.
You don't have the mind for it.
Just because I don't understand something God is, does, or will do, or can do, doesn't mean he can't do it. You follow me? He is God. Man, until you understand that, it's going to be hard for you to see the God that I see. Man.
Actually, for you to say that you can is actually pretty
bold. Yes, absolutely. All right, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Try that.
Done.
And now, by the way, out of nothing, all right? And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness.
Thank you, Lord.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were, everybody say with me, the first day. You know what the first step is? The first step from chaos to order? It's always light. It's always light. Your first step from chaos to order was the Holy Spirit shining a light on you.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
This just occurred to me. I've never seen this before. I've read this a ton of times. But it said that earth was formless and without void, and then God said, let there be light. It says other places in the Bible, 1 John 1:5, I think it is, that God is light.
That's right.
It's almost like he's instilling himself.
That's the only way it can be, Kevin. Yeah, it's only way it works, because the sun and the moon ain't created until the fourth day.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like,
but you understand that's what my God can do. Who's going to be in Revelation chapter 22? Who's going to be the light during that time? There will be no sun, no moon in heaven in eternity. Who is going to be it?
Well, it's I think what he's trying to say is sometimes you read it like, oh, he's just over here like doing it, but it's a picture of intimacy with his creation. Like, he's actively involved.
He created it, but he didn't put himself into it. Until this, And this is where all of creation now is distilled with the essence.
I mean, you know, I would I'd be hesitant to say he didn't put himself into it, because everything that he just spoke came from him.
Yeah.
So it is a part of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is a part of, everything is God's. Everything belongs to God. And God is everything and a part of everything. He's in everything. If he's not omnipresent.
I mean, I could say the same thing about, like, myself. Before I had the Holy Spirit, I was alive, but I was dead. And then I accepted the Holy Spirit in it, and still... Basically, he shined a light in my soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of
That's a better example, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I just think that's really awesome. Like,
yeah, it is awesome.
Everything in creation has himself in it.
Yes.
That ought to make you smile.
God is.
This kind of sounds like God is sovereign over darkness.
You remember what he said when Moses... When Moses went to God and said, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" Do you understand those two words?
I am.
Wow.
No.
No, you probably should. I am. Tell them I am sent you. I am what? Anything and everything.
Everything
that follows. Yes. Man. Oh, just remember, man, when you look in that mirror, you're proof something has always existed.
Amen.
Because you can never look back to a time when there was nothing and all this came from it.
Well,
it's impossible.
No one like you. There's not no another one.
Yeah, think about that. Thank like goodness some of you only there's only one. I don't know what I'll do with two of you.
Throwing away the mold was intentional. God's market.
All right, so the first thing he brings from kind of a chaos is light, but that's the way he works in our lives as well. Am I right? Then God said, so God did not have him to fashion the light with his hands, right? It was enough for God merely to speak, just to speak it. Man, let there be light. And there was light.
Amen.
Spurgeon said this. He said, I must have you notice that this light came instantaneously. The Hebrew suggests this far better than our translations. It is sublimely brief. It says in the original, light be, light was. Light be, light was. Man, that's my God. Light be. You get it?
Switches.
That's awesome.
All right. Let there be light. So Genesis tells us that light and day and night each existed before the sun and before the moon were created on the fourth day in verses 14 through 19.
Yep.
So, you know, speaking a little bit to what Kelby said, this shows us that light is a little more than just a physical substance.
Yep.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
It also has a supernatural aspect. Amen?
Yeah.
Because there is no light created at this point. God is the light. He is that supernatural aspect of the light.
He'll be the light in the second heaven, too.
Yes. And you can read that in 22:5 Revelation. That's a beautiful, you know, there will be no need of the sun nor the moon, for God will be the light thereof, is what it says.
How cool will that be?
I can't
wait.
I'm rapping. I'm trying. I got my head, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to.
No shadows either.
No shadow of turning. Amen. Ooh, all right. So the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, there are some people who just can't get their head around this being a 24-hour period. Again, take Revelations for what it says, how it says it. Don't try to interpret it. It says, so the evening and the morning were the first day. That is a one-day period. Amen? The simplest way to interpret this text, again, is try not to interpret it at all.
Yep.
And just take it for what it says. And listen, it's clear when you look at the rotations and the sun and the moon and the 365 and the week and all that, that he was talking about days here. 24-hour period, 6 days, 7 days, he rested.
Yep.
I mean, don't try to read a bunch of stuff into something that ain't.
Well, and I think that's the dangerous place. place that the enemy wants to take you, right?
Yeah.
That you get the rabbit hole, and then you have scientists coming up with evolution theories.
Yes. Like,
that's how it all starts, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Just take it for what it is.
Just take it. Just look at it for what it is. Yeah. Spurgeon says this, "There is no doubt a literal and accurate account of God's first day's work in the creation of the world is right here." Amen? There's no doubt. All right, let's go look at the second day. Verses 6 through 8. What does God make? An atmospheric division. I won't get into the detail that Doug does, but I'll try to make it as simple as I can, and we'll save all that technical detail stuff for Doug when he does his presentation of...
What he said was so awesome.
Yeah.
Brought everything into understanding for me.
He can show you the layers, the rocks, and all that stuff, the domes and all that stuff.
Rock school.
But I'm not going to get that deep into it, all right? All right, God makes an atmospheric division. That's clearly what it says here. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Everybody follow me?
Yep.
Quit lying. And it was so. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day.
Amen.
Amen. So let there be a firmament. The idea of the firmament or an expanse, if you read the NIV or if you read the NLT, it says space. The waters of the land are separated from the water or the vapor in the sky. Let me try to explain this to you in a very simple way. Scientists believe, and so does the Bible, right here in this particular verse, recognize the existence of a vapor water in the sky, a water vapor in the sky, such as a blanket. And Doug explained this very well about when he talked about it, but a blanket that would greatly change the ecology of the earth. Amen? So it would serve as a global greenhouse, all right? Maintaining the essential, an essential uniform temperature all over the world. Are you following me? Like a dome all the way around the world. Like a terrarium. You guys can visualize what Doug taught us on that. Amen? So without temperature variations, there would be no significant winds. There would be no rain like we know it today. Am I right?
Yeah.
Because if the temperature is the same all the time and there's no corruption in the firmament, there's no winds blowing, no clouds, no cold hitting heat, and all the temperatures the same. You follow me?
No.
And you guys know how long it took it to rain?
Condensation.
No. How long did it take it to rain, Doug?
Till Noah.
Till Noah.
Yeah, till Noah.
That's why they didn't believe.
Oh. So everything would be like a lush, tropical vegetation state all over the world. Not fed by rain, but fed by this condensation, not only from the top, but also from the bottom, like a fog, kind of, so to speak. Are you following me?
Yeah.
All right. Like a ground fog, but not only a ground fog, but also watering from the bottom. You know, Sonny and I was talking this morning. He said, "Hey, if you ever want green grass, listen to me. You got a dead spot. You take hay and you roll the hay bale out over that spot." And he said, "Come springtime, you'll have a beautiful patch of grass." So really? Because that's how it's going to work.
Yeah.
That's how it works. It holds all that stuff in, all that moisture. And you think, without the sun, it's going to die.
Yeah.
That's not the case. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Sonny?
Right.
Is that 100%? He said, "You know how them cattle guys, they have them, what do you call them? Feed guards?
Hay rings.
Huh?
Hay rings.
Hay rings." He says, "Every year, man, he moves that and he's got nothing but a lush piece of." That's amazing, man. That's how it works. Yeah.
Just something how cool like this whole setup is and how perfect God made the world at this time is there's higher oxygen concentration in this shell that he's talking about, and also higher pressure, so much so that it's high enough that you can dissolve oxygen in your plasma, which is a part of your blood, so that if you wanted to run, you could run forever without getting tired. Because you always have enough oxygen in your blood to just...
We're going
to
do that one.
How cool is that? I could just take off and run from here to Dallas.
And, you know, that's what that firmament did, man. It changed everything. So it would also filter out ultraviolet rays, am I right? Any radiations from the sun, cosmic rays, or any kind of destructive energies bombarding the planet. And that's why humans lived so much longer before Noah than they do after Noah, because it was during that period that firmament or that dome was taken down by God. And I believe he said, man's years shall no longer be more than 120.
Yes, that's
what he said. Because we're stupid. We don't need to live longer. That's really what he was saying, but he was saying it in a nice way. Huh? Man, I don't want to live 500 years. Not at this point, anyway. Come on, man. I just don't. All right, day of creation. That was the second day. So far, it's all been good, right?
Yep.
The third day of creation. This is where the land is divided from the sea, and the plants and all types of vegetation are created. 9 through 13. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. Pretty simple stuff here, right? Yep. And it was so. So, again, I want you to go back to, and God said. So he's doing all this. Words. Amen. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so.
Full grown.
All right. True story. And the earth brought forth the grass, full grown, emphasis mine, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. It's coming together, isn't it?
Yeah, where's evolution in that?
I don't know, man. So the idea is that before this, the earth was just covered with water, right? Now the waters, God is speaking, and the waters are gathered together in one place, and the land begins to show itself. Amen? And he's orchestrating this just with his word. And then he says, let the earth bring forth grass. Now this is very interesting here, because all this happens before the creation of the sun on the fourth day as well. Am I right?
Yes.
This means that plants must have sufficient nourishment, because the light that God would create to actually give them some of the nourishment that they need has not been created yet. So I wonder where they got it from.
Why would he make something that he couldn't sustain by himself?
It would be impossible for him to do that.
I'm just reminded of Jesus at the well, and the disciples come up to him like, hey, you haven't eaten. Are you hungry? He's like, I've had nourishment. You don't know.
I have food that thou knowest not about.
That's just right where we're reminding you.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, even if you think of even those who say propose the days of creation are not literal days, they have a real problem here, in all honesty. Because it's hard to explain how the plants and the vegetations could grow and thrive eons or millions of years before the sun and the moon were created. Man, that just shoots a hole in the gap theory. Sure. Yeah. Amen. I don't think no modern evolutionist would argue plant life was older than the sun. But here, right here in Genesis, the plant life is older than the sun. Mm-hmm. And it's because God not only created it, but he can sustain it. And by the way, it's just going to be a few days. And it was so, he says. So this is the beginning of, listen, right here, this is the beginning of life on earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want to, you know, right? Not human life, but it is the beginning of life.
Yes.
Because the plant is alive.
Yeah.
And it does have life. I want you to think about something a minute. how a plant, a tree, a shrub, how it grows in dirt. Right? You can plant it. You can water it. But what you can't do is make it grow.
Amen.
Only God can make it grow.
Amen.
Amen. It's amazing. Yeah.
I kind of imagine it in my mind as the power of God from that seed flowing through that seed into the growth of that plant. It's his power.
That's a good one, yeah.
That makes it grow. I don't know, it's just imagination that I use. It's the power of God that takes that seed and makes this tree.
It's even
that grows through every living cell and every part of it.
It's just an amazing process, to be honest with you. And it all starts right here.
Fascinating.
With the one of its kind that God created. Do you understand what I'm saying?
He tells us, look to my works. If you want to know that I'm real, all you got to do is look around, study it, get into the scientific about it.
Yeah.
It will prove I exist.
Yeah. You know, science doesn't prove the Bible is true. Mm. The Bible proves.
Amen.
Whether science is true or not.
Amen. They just get to open their eyes a little bit of time.
Actually, if you take science for what it is, science actually proves the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They have to insert things like carbon dating, all this other stuff. They have to insert a man-made idea to make science not prove
the Bible.
Perfect example, we all had probably plants that we took inside for the freeze.
Yep.
I took a plant inside where it had no light, and guess what happened? In 3 days, it had already started dying.
Yep.
Pull that thing back out in the sunlight, and poof.
Amen. All right. The earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself. So the plants were created as plants, not as seeds. And the plants and the trees were created with the, what it says here is, and the tree that yields fruit. Am I right?
Sure enough to produce fruit.
To produce fruit, yes. Full grown plants, full grown trees, full grown seed bearing after its kind plants, right? So listen, if I brought into you, if it was live, and I said, here it is, just started it yesterday. Right? You say, no way. That has the appearance of age. Like it's taken a long time for it to get this size. But I want you to know something. When God created them, he created them mature. He did. That's what he says. To take it any other way than what he says it here would be wrong. All right. According to its kind. I love this. This phrase appears 10 times right here in Genesis chapter 1 alone. According to its kind. It means God allows variation within a kind. But something of a kind will never develop into something of another kind. All right? In other words, a dog ain't ever going to be a giraffe.
Come on.
Come on, man. A man ain't ever going to be a woman. And a woman ain't ever going to be a man.
A frog is not going to be a man.
It's just not going to happen, my friends. You can change whatever you want. You know, you can put lipstick and a wig on a pig. Guess what it's going to be?
Funny looking pig.
Still going to be a pig, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's still going to have bacon. And God saw that it was good. God knows what is good.
Yes.
And organizes his creation to result in something good. All right. We won't go to the fourth day when he creates the sun and the moon and the stars. We'll pick that up next week. Amen? But we got through 13 verses.
That's pretty dang good.
Right.
Especially on an intro. There's a little bit of setup.
Yes. And I deliberately didn't do a lot of setup because I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just trying to remind you and encourage you. Your God is a huge God, man. And he was speaking these things into existence. Let there be light be, light was.
Amen. It also speaks something to, if I make some bread, I made some bread yesterday, that's my bread. I can decide whether I let somebody else eat it. It's my bread, I made it. give it to you. But that's my choice. You know, God, the fact that God created also speaks to ownership. God owns everything He made.
Yeah, that's right. And it also speaks to responsibility and accountability. I mean, just the fact that if you believe God created the heavens and the earth, and I'm telling you He did, then it speaks of responsibility, it speaks of accountability, but it also eliminates 100% chance, period.
Amen. If you believe. Speaking of her point, Jesus, Revelation talks about the title deed. He probably has this title deed created at this point as well.
You know, somebody explained it to me this way. Maybe it'll help you. This was long in my early in my Christianity, man, and it really helped me then. But he said, and back then, this is how long ago it was, because we had VHS tapes.
All right? VHS
tape. All right.
And that's the way he explained it. He said, it's like God, before He created anything, put in a VHS tape and watched the entire creation, every decision, every hair, everything before He created it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And He knew everything that was going to happen before it ever even happened. Yep. Are you following me?
I can picture Him smiling as He's doing it. Oh, yeah. This is good.
This is good, but man will make it bad. but when you understand this, and especially as we get into the end of the chapter of Revelation, I want you to know, man, in the beginning God created, and then the end of the book, ooh, Revelation, He creates everything
new, brand new.
New heaven, new earth, just a man. But I want you to see, everything between in the beginning He created and He creates everything new is revealing God's nature, God's character, and God's plan to us. It's just a beautiful thing when you can stand back and see the big picture. It is. It's a beautiful thing, man.
You know, you said something in the beginning that 167 times.
165 times.
That it was
in the New Testament. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in the New Testament, because I looked that up too, it's either quoted or referenced over 200 times.
In the New Testament?
In the New Testament.
Yeah. It's quoted 165 times, but some of them are doubled or tripled.
Some of them
are
quoted or referenced. Yeah. If you combine those two, it's over 200.
Or alluded to, yes.
So I wanted to read this real quick from it's Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
Amen.
I mean, that's Genesis right there.
And it goes back to the word borrow, which created. God created out of nothing. Created out of nothing.
Ours is a big God.
Man, you know, and I'll just tell you, man, today in the churches around, I'll just speak about America, you know, God's not that big to them.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Man, God has done everything for you, man. Everything. So what do you owe Him?
Everything.
Everything. Either God is real or God is not. Quit playing games with God. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, quit playing games with God. He's God. Until you understand that word, I am, or God, or creator, had no beginning, had no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, man. And remember, the fact that you exist absolutely says something has always existed. And that always existed person I'm telling tell you about today, his name is I Am. Amen.
That's my God.
Oh, that's my God too, man. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You again for this morning. We thank You for this book, Lord, and this book of beginnings and origins, Lord. And Father, just thank You for showing us this morning again, just reminding us of who You are, Lord, Your omnipotence, Your omniscience, and Your omnipresence, Lord. And Father, we just thank You for that. And Lord, just I pray for a blessing on the next service as people come in, Lord. Just may they come here, Lord, to hear from You, to hear a word from You, Lord, that will change their direction, change their life, Lord. Improve their relationship with You. Just know we love You, Lord. We thank You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.